Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
So Nick Foles, he voided his option on voided his 2019 option that was picked up by the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going to be paying $2 million as part of that buyout. So moving forward, there's a thought that potentially the Eagles could franchise Nick Foles in hoping to trade him.
And where get something for
him. Yeah, where do you stand on Nick Foles moving forward?
You know what? I'm always leery of voiding out a deal like that. You know what I mean? Like, what if you don't get... What was it, $20 million, wasn't it?
Well, here's the thing about, $20 million, but here's the thing about Foles. He even talked about it last year when he said, when I see some of these guys getting the money that they're getting, it does kind of sting a little bit. So he's been pretty public and pretty open about the fact that he would like to get paid and he would like to cash in on the recent success he's had.
And I get that, seriously, from the idea that if you're playing a game, or even like us, you know, you're broadcasting or whatever, any job, and you see a guy who's maybe not as good as you and he's making bank, you're like, dude, I just want to make what everybody else is making. I'm not trying to be special, but why should I take less than what other guys are making? But here's my only thing. I know people look at the playoffs a year ago and the Super Bowl, and he played great. And this year they had a nice run when Wentz in the Lifetime got hurt, and I'll give you that, you know? Wentz in the Lifetime, I love that. Come on. So I get all that. But he's the kind of guy, Jonas, who is all cool to go. I could give him the car keys, man. Go get me a loaf of bread. He drives down, gets the bread, comes back. But if I give him the car, he crashes it.
Okay. That you know what I mean? Yeah, okay. That what it is?
He can go do a fair. You know, he knows it's my car, and I'm going to turn it over to him. He's cool with that. All right, let me go do what I got to do. But as soon as you give him the keys, because we've seen it before, he's not a starting quarterback in the league. And whenever they've given him that opportunity, for whatever reason, it hasn't worked. I know he had that 1 year with Philadelphia, right? Before, what was that, when Michael Vick?
And it was when he was, Chip Kelly was the coach. Yeah, he had 27-2. They won the division. They hosted a playoff game, and they lost to the Saints.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the next year, he turned into a pumpkin. It's like Fitzpatrick. That's the same thing.
Right.
Every time you look at him and go, oh, my God, if you remember the start of the season this year, you were like, what? Oh, this is ridiculous.
And you've seen that from Fitzpatrick multiple times throughout the course of his career. People forget Buffalo paid him. Buffalo gave him a contract like he was going to be the quarterback of the future. The Jets, he played really well, so much so that you had Brandon Marshall talking about how he's the best quarterback he's ever played with. You know,
here's another guy. Do you remember this? Matt Flynn played for the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
He broke all kinds of offensive records for a single game against the Lions the last game of the year. They gave Aaron Rodgers the day off. So Seattle sees this. He threw 5 touchdowns. He was unbelievable. They give him a big contract to be their starting quarterback. He gets cut in training camp because this is when Russell Wilson became the quarterback.
Yeah.
But they gave him this big deal off of the one game, and they saw what he did.
You know what, though? I'll give Seattle credit. They could have been stubborn and said, no, this is the guy that we gave our money to, and we're going to stick with him. You know what they said? F that.
They said, this other guy, Russell Wilson, is better, and we don't care that we signed him to a contract. You just don't see it that often. Most people will not admit that they made a mistake.
Look, and you could go down the history of the NFL. And this is, I'm not just saying this because I do a show with him and he's a good friend of mine, but I'll contend that what damaged Brady Quinn's career the most is when Cleveland overreacted to one good year from Derek Anderson and gave him a 3-year deal on top of that after they had drafted him. And the reason they did that is because they didn't want to feel like they made the mistake that the Chargers felt like they made when the Chargers let Drew Brees walk, saw what he did in New Orleans, and stuck with Phillip Rivers. And so when those things are, you see these things happen throughout the course of the NFL, and teams tend to overreact. Nick Foles is doing absolutely the right thing here because he's going to get more than the $20 million. He's going to end up getting more than the $20 million. I don't think...
I'm just saying, where you know you're going to get $20 million just to get out of that deal, and then what happens if other people go,
yeah,
we like you, but we're not giving you a $60 million deal or anything.
And look, if...
I don't love it, but I like it.
And they do. Who's that?
That's Chris.
Okay, Chris Broussard's a good human being. The guy's homesick, and you're clowning him on national
radio.
I'm
sorry. I can't help
Unbelievable.
I'm going to kill your butt.
That's, by the way, if you'd like to get Rob Parker on Twitter, you can do so. At Jeffrey Dahmer.
Is that what
Rob.
It is?
He's a terrible human being.
Or
just
at
awful
the Jonas Knox. You can do that. Let me just throw out the number here as we go forward. If you want to chime in, would you want your team to sign – sign him. I mean, would you be like, look, he won a Super Bowl. Look at what Nick Foles was able to do. Is he a franchise quarterback? 877-99 on Fox. That's 877-996-6369. So you can chime in on this if you'd like to.
It's all about sample size, and you got to be smart about it. And you have to understand what you're showing and what you're not showing. The guy I always go back to is Cardale Jones. Cardale Jones had a small sample size in college.
He made the worst mistake I ever seen 100%
made. 100% agree. Cardale Jones stepped in and won the Big Ten title game, the national semifinal, and then the national championship.
And you had the nerve to come back to college.
He should have walked. He should have walked, and he would have been a first-round pick, potentially a first-round pick.
And somebody would have worked with them, and you know what I mean? They would have brought him along.
Yeah.
And I agree. After that, and that guy looked like unbelievable.
I
could not. Whoever gave him the advice to come back,
terrible.
And then he wasn't even guaranteed to be the starting quarterback the next year, if you remember.
Ohio State. But he started, and the opening game of the season was Virginia Tech. And all of a sudden, teams had an offseason to study film, to see his tendencies. And at Virginia Tech, Blacksburg, in primetime, I remember being on the air when I was watching it, I thought to myself, damn, that guy just cost himself millions of dollars because he came back and now you've given a big enough sample size to now not only do people see your strengths, but now they see your flaws.
And when he played in that championship game, I said, this dude is off the chain.
Oh, he's great.
He was great.
All the tools in the world. He had the arm, all of it. And there were people talking that studied the NFL that going into the draft that said Cardale Jones is a first-round talent. And you know how the NFL draft works. If you're a quarterback and you've got talent, somebody's going to take a chance on you because that's the key to winning and being successful in the NFL. He passed on that. And he cost himself. There are some players who do it right, and some players who you look back on it, they do it wrong. And if I'm Nick Foles, you got to jump at the opportunity. But on the flip side of that, if I'm a team, I'm not pulling the trigger on Nick Foles. I'm not doing it.
I think you got to be very, very leery of it. I don't know. Let me ask you. How about Jacksonville Jaguars? I know their defense disappointed, but they had a defense in place. Bortles isn't the guy.
How much of an upgrade is Nick Foles over Blake Bortles? I agree he's an upgrade, but I just don't see at a significant upgrade.
You don't know,
we
have a big following down in Jacksonville. The Odd Couple's hot down there.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
The Sports Radio 930 in Jacksonville.
Is that what it is?
A little affiliate knowledge
there.
Look
at you.
How
do you know
that? That's what I do.
Unbelievable.
It's called work in the middle of the night and wanting to know who's listening to you.
That's
what
right.
It's called. That's the trick.
So that's what you do?
Thanks, Kawhi.
Kawhi's laughing at it. But the Nick Foles thing, and the number is 877-99 on Fox. I don't want to diss the guy because it ain't easy to win a Super Bowl and play the way he played. But you just have to look at the history. His history is too long because if he was really a starting quarterback, he would be a starting quarterback. He really would, because there's a lot of teams that don't have really good quarterbacks. So why in the world have teams passed on him?
Here's the problem. He can't stay in Philadelphia.
No.
I heard this from somebody, and I cannot say, but somebody that has got at least some knowledge or some connection to where they know kind of what's going on there.
Anthony Gargano?
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's not Gargano. Well, Gargano's not going to dime out anybody.
No,
I know.
I just said
that's
that. I just do it because he's from
Philly.
There he
is. Okay, so Chris Broussard, you take a battle axe to Chris Broussard, your partner. You rip Anthony Gargano
no,
on the
I
air.
No, I love
You're
Anthony
a savage.
Gargano.
What's wrong with you?
No, like not at all.
Hurricane Rob just blowing through the building
We used to
here.
Cover baseball together. So.
Ripping the network. But
Rob Parker.
I heard that potentially the leak that came out of Philadelphia, that there was the thought that maybe it was Nick Foles' agent who had something to do with the story on Carson Wentz not being the best teammate in the world. Now, I'm not saying that's 100% true. I don't know. I have no proof of that. But you can't go back to Philadelphia, so he's got to go somewhere. The question is, would your team want Nick Foles if he's available?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Where do you want to start?
I think everybody knows now that this trade ain't happening because the Pelicans have not gotten back to the Lakers. The Lakers said yesterday that they pulled out Jonas. And they were waiting for a counteroffer. How are you going to get a counteroffer when they won't return your call? They're not interested.
It's like getting rejected at a bar and going back to your buddies and saying, she wasn't that hot.
What
were you doing then? All right, why'd you go over
why'd
there?
Why'd you make your move? Right.
Come on, man. It just like, and it's Magic Johnson. I get all that. Trying to save face, and I understand it. The organization looks bad.
I remember
it looks
doing
like a disaster.
That.
Yeah.
Where I go, hey, you know what? I didn't want to talk to her anywhere. I hear she has a pimple under her big toe.
Yeah, of course. Like, I didn't like her shoes. You know, like, yeah, there's always an out there, but they want to save face. They've been embarrassed. You can try.
They got exposed.
Yeah, they got exposed, and now you've got a roster full of players. We were on the air last night when the Hindenburg was going down in Indianapolis. They were atrocious from start to finish, and LeBron played in that game. They lose by 40+.
And Oladipo didn't play in that game.
Yeah, players are pissed off. Kyle Kuzma looked like he was totally dejected afterwards when they interviewed him. All the drama surrounding Luke Walton all year long, it's a terrible look for the organization. They tried to save a little bit of face, but the fact is you wanted to go all in on Anthony Davis. You didn't get him, i.e. failure, bottom line.
And here's the big thing, and I'm serious when I say this. I know most people would have been shocked to think that the Lakers, Jonas, would be 27-27, 54 games in. And I'm here to tell you right here, right now, LeBron James has officially put the Lakers season in jeopardy. What we thought was an automatic that they would at least make the playoffs, we had analysts talking about 50 wins, 53 wins, second seed in the Western Conference. I'm telling you, it's going to be a struggle to make the playoffs in the Western Conference after what has happened, after the pushback from LeBron James, where you have now players who know that he doesn't want them. He doesn't think he can win with them. This was supposed to be the core of what was going to happen with the Lakers. This is why you endured those bad years to get those picks to be able to put together something, right? It wasn't that long ago that Magic Johnson was standing there at the Staples Center talking about that they were going to hang Lonzo Ball's jersey in the rafters and that he was going to erase all of Magic's records. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And now here we are where they might not, a LeBron James team might not make the playoffs in the Western Conference. It's possible. The season is in jeopardy. Don't kid yourself.
And also, that's the only thing that bummed me out about what the Clippers did, because I get the Clippers trading Tobias Harris. They want to free up cap space. They want to have assets. They want to go after some of these big fish in the offseason and potentially swing a big-time trade. 100% agree with it. Great move by the Clippers. Helps the Sixers immediately. The only reason I didn't like it is because I do think it opens up a spot for the Lakers, because that's one of the teams that's currently ahead of them. So it makes the path a little bit easier. But when it's all said and done, this has not been what everybody expected it to be. This has not been the season everybody was looking at and going, you know what? We're good with being 27-27 this far into it. They went from projecting. I was talking with the Straight Out of Vegas guys before the show, and we were talking about season win totals projections.
Right.
Before the year, the over-under win total for the Lakers was 48. Right now, they're projected to finish with 41 wins. They're teetering on the brink of being a below 500 team. If you think that's what anybody signed up for heading into this season, you're insane or on some sort of methamphetamine. But it doesn't make any sense.
And you just said it, 48. Do you know what they'd have to go, what they'd have to do to get 48 wins? Go 21-6.
Yeah.
This team can't go 21-6. It's not good enough. The competition in the Western, that's why I'm saying there's a chance. There's a real chance that they're going to be in trouble in the Western Conference, and nobody would have ever believed that a team with LeBron. Everybody told me, oh, they're going to be a top two or three seed in the West. They'll go to the second round this year. I'm not buying it at all. And if they do make the playoffs, it will be at the eighth seed, and they'll probably get knocked off by the Warriors in the first round.
They'll get sandblasted by Golden State.
If they even make it. I don't know if the players are going to recover. Are they going to be good enough to say, I understand veteran players. Jonas, had there been like one or two names mentioned, that's one thing.
Right.
But when you see the whole roster was available.
They butchered it.
To let that come out, I think has hurt the Lakers and made people feel like on the team. And we saw it in Indiana. Not only did they lose by 42 points, it was the biggest loss in LeBron James' career. Also, LeBron played. LeBron was in the game, and guess who didn't play? Oladipo didn't play because you know he's been lost to injury. So they beat you like that without their best player, and the best player, quote-unquote, on the planet, played in the game where he got beat by 42.
And then there's the picture of LeBron sitting at the end of the bench away from everybody. Now, whether or not guys had just walked
guys
away when
just
the picture was snapped.
Right.
Hey, you know what, though? You want to sell some? You want to sell some papers? You want to get some clicks? You got to be creative sometimes. But I will say, and let me pose this question to you. We both agree, in order to make the playoffs, LeBron's got to play, right? So they've got to gun it. This is the last 20-something games of the regular season? So they've got to really make a push in order to make the postseason or make the playoffs, and the schedule is more difficult. At what point does LeBron James look at this and go, you know what? It ain't happening this year. And then he starts sitting.
Well,
because I think that's a realistic possibility.
But that's where the load management comes
in. Okay, but I think that you just love saying that word.
Ever since
you left Magic City, for some reason, load management is like the term you're going to every time.
Well, that worked at Magic City. I don't know about basketball.
Okay. Now listen. Here's the other aspect of it as well too. So LeBron missed 17 games. He's missed 18 games so far this season. Because of that day-to-day groin issue. So if the groin wasn't really an issue and they're not concerned about it moving forward, do you think LeBron maybe could have returned sooner, but he sat out to show the organization, look at what we really got?
Maybe. I mean, because some people are saying that and they think
Would you put it past him?
That those guys that you think are some core for the future, they just aren't that good, and they weren't that good. They really weren't. If you remember, this is where I really said, I'm not buying into these guys. When they lost to the Knicks, the Knicks have 10 wins. They came to L.A. and got a win. And the Cavaliers had lost 12 in a row. They came to L.A. and got a win. And they're bad.
Yeah.
Both of those teams. And the Bulls came in after that and gave them a game and then lost by 6 or 7. You know what I mean? At the end. But they struggled with the three worst teams at home. I don't care if LeBron was playing or not. They still should be good enough to beat those teams.
He didn't even come out and sit on the bench during the Warriors game over the weekend. I mean, he didn't play because they were resting him or load management, whatever dumb term they want to use these days. But he didn't even come out and sit on the bench with his team. He went and sat back in the locker room. And the excuse I was given over the weekend was, he didn't want to see JaVale McGee get his championship ring in person. What were they dating?
I know. What does that mean?
What are we talking about
and
here?
And LeBron, you have three already.
I just don't understand. Everything's an excuse. Right. It's some cockamamie excuse. It's all crap. The season has been a disaster so far, and it's projecting to finish out a disaster if they can't pull this trade off, because now you got a bunch of pissed off players in the same locker room that told them, you guys aren't good enough to play here.
And I got to give it up to the fans in Indiana last night. We got that sound. Indiana last night.
Great fans.
Rob G, we got that.
I mean, just wonderful fans.
I mean, this is now one is who's taking the free throw?
And Brandon Ingram. Mr. Untouchable.
Right.
We're not trading Brandon
Ingram.
That,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, so here he is at the free throw line, and just listen carefully. They're saying LeBron's going to trade you. I mean, this is classic. Here we go.
He averaged 16 points last year in year two. He's at 17.2 in his last five.
It's like an SEC football game.
I mean, how classic is that? They're in unison. It's a you can clearly hear it. And then JaVale McGee steps up to the line, right? And then you know what they said?
Yeah, oh yeah. They said you're not
at the game. LeBron James
not worth trading.
Not worth trading. I mean, this is classic. It doesn't get any better than that. These are fans who know what's going on. Everybody knows it. And even when they said the same thing, it was LeBron's going, not the Lakers are going to trade you. LeBron wants to trade you, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows this is about LeBron.
Oh,
and that's why the players rolled over yesterday. They didn't play.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
At some point, and I know we had Ryan Hollins on yesterday, and he didn't want to acknowledge this, but at some point, you have to acknowledge the real possibility that there is a group of players in the NBA, whether they're just coming up or some of them are established, who are looking and going, I don't need his shine to further my career. I can do it on my own.
What did Kevin Durant say? Go back and what he said. That was truth when he spoke that playing with him is toxic.
Yeah.
Isn't that the word he used?
Yes.
He used toxic.
Yes.
And so if you go back and get that Kevin Durant thing, that thing makes a lot of sense.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Right now, we are welcoming in Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst. He is a NBA world champion. He is Eddie House here on Fox Sports Radio. Eddie, thanks so much for the time, man.
What's up, Eddie?
No problem. What's happening, Rob? How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Now, Eddie, I got to warn you, if you wanted smoke, you came to the right place because Rob Parker's been hammering everybody on the show.
Uh-oh, you
everybody's
know it.
Been getting it. So if you are a LeBron supporter, Rob Parker's going to let you hear it.
I mean, Rob always hating on LeBron. <nothing new.
laughs> All right, Eddie, so help me out, okay?
All right.
I thought this was supposed to be a look-see kind of year. You know, let's see what LeBron and the young Lakers have. And then they'll worry about figuring it out for year two. But instead, it was like, hey, let's trade the entire team. Let's get Anthony Davis. What do you make of this? It doesn't look like there's going to be a trade, obviously, because New Orleans hasn't even responded back, you know, to the Lakers. What do you make of this whole thing with the Anthony Davis trade? And do you believe it could happen?
If I'm New Orleans, what are you rushing for? I mean, he has another year on his contract. Go ahead and let all the feelers come in. I'm not surprised that they're not responding right away to what the Lakers are offering. All that did was set the bar for other teams to try to come with sweeter deals for him if they want. They know they have that in their back pocket. They know they have all the leverage because the Lakers seem thirsty to get Anthony Davis.
And they do. I mean, that's the part that has been exposed, how desperate they look. And help me here, Eddie. What about being a player? It's one thing if one or two guys are named in a trade. That's the business. But when you see the whole roster is basically, you could have anybody you want. Nobody's sacred. We don't covet anybody. You think that shook those young players?
Well, it could have. Being a young player, not understanding exactly the business of basketball yet, you know, and it being in your first, second year, third year, and being with a team and feeling secure, you know, not really having any expectations as a organization to be winning. It's all about developing. Hey, we got to develop these young guys. But once LeBron came, all the development went right out the window, and it was like, hey, we got to win right now. So different pressure, different set of circumstances for these guys. Now they're seeing this is what basketball is really like if you are trying to be on championship-caliber teams or teams that's at least competing. And have their name out there. So this is a wake-up call for them. And it's either going to do two things, make them figure out, hey, I got to step my game up a little bit, or they'll go somewhere else and they'll find where they're at. It's not easy to win in any sport. So and you have to be certain. You got to be cut from a certain type of cloth to be able to make sure that whatever it is that you have to do, that you can do it. And for these young guys, it is kind of, It's surprising to them because they never seen this side of anything. You know, all they know, they've been, you got to think a lot of these guys are always been coddled to, and hey, man, you know, you the man, and we're going to keep on giving you everything because of, you know, AAU and going to college, being a one and done, and then right to the NBA. So it could be I believe it is a shock to him. But hey, welcome to the real world. This is it.
He is Eddie House, NBA champion, Fox Sports 1 NBA analyst, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. It's the Odd Couple, Rob Parker, Jonas Knox, in for Chris Broussard. So, Eddie, had you ever found yourself in your career to where your name was floated out in a trade rumor, and how did you handle it? Take us into what that's like and the dynamic in the locker room right now.
Well, I don't remember a trade rumor where my name was floated. I mean, I had a couple times, yeah, but not really nothing substantial. I have been traded before. Mid-season, and the mindset is when you know that that's going on and it's you can be potentially being moved from that team, all you can do is your job. Everything else is like, hey, okay, I have no control over what's going to happen, what this outcome is going to be. All I can do is I can prepare myself to be, hey, if I'm here, I'm here. If I'm somewhere else, then I have to start preparing to be on that team and figure out my niche with that team and how I could stay over there and help the team be as successful as they can be. So I think that was my mindset. But when I got traded, I was later in my career. It was after the 2 years after we won the championship. So I was a veteran. So right. I understood the business of the basketball. So it was an easier transition for me. Now, if that would have happened as younger in my career, could it have changed the way that I approached games? Could it have changed my mentality in practice and things like that? Possibly, but for me and my experience, it was later in my career. So I pretty much had a grip on how this game goes and how the business of basketball operates as well.
Hey, Eddie, the people are saying that it's going to take about 48 wins to make the playoffs in the Western Conference. And now at the Lakers are 27-27. I think their playoffs are in jeopardy. It's not maybe the layup we thought it was. They need to go 21-6 to get 48 wins. Is that doable with the team where they are? Or is that going to shoulder a lot on LeBron trying to lead them all the way back?
Well, I'll be able to give you a better idea after All-Star. After the trade deadline, because I think right now with the trade deadline going, you can't get a real gauge on this team. You can't check their temperature right now because you don't know what it is.
Right.
You don't know where they're at. So I think once the trade deadline is over with and everybody knows that, hey, I'm going to be here, or they've been moved and somebody else comes in and know that they're going to be there, then I think you have a better I'll be able to better assess that and give you a better answer from there, because then you could see exactly after two or three games, you know, if this is going to work or if it's not going to work.
Did you see the reaction in Indiana when Brandon Ingram came up to the free throw line last night and the fans there? Do you have that? We want to play it again. And go ahead.
They averaged 16 points last year in year two. He's at 17.2 in his last five.
And the crowd is chanting, LeBron's going to trade you. What'd you make of that last night?
Well, that's Indiana fans being the best Indiana fans that they can be. I mean, you know how it is, man.
That's classic.
That is classic. And you know fans are going to cut as deep as they can cut, and they're going to go low. It's going to be a bunch of low blows. And I think it's all in the fun of the game. That's part of it.
Right.
You look at it and say, hey, that was pretty clever by the fans. You got to, hey, acknowledge that and move on. Sometimes the fans can be corny, but that was a good one, and they got him. And you just got to roll with the punches, and it is what it is. It shouldn't affect him either way. You know, that's the thing. Yeah, that's just the fans chanting that, but that's just like them booing with those thunder sticks behind the basket.
Right.
Chanting. It shouldn't even bother you. You hear it, but you don't hear it, if that makes sense.
And, Eddie, you went to Arizona State, correct?
Yeah,
yes, the fans behind the baskets are insane at Arizona State.
Yeah, the curtain of distraction.
Oh my God! Like they I've seen guys wearing next to nothing behind the curtain. I would miss every free throw too. What the hell is that?
I hear you.
Yeah, so Eddie, let me ask you. Eddie House, NBA champion, Fox Sports 1 NBA analyst, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio about one of your former teams. Now, being here in LA, I've heard my whole life about how the Clippers are the second team in the city and nobody really takes them serious, and the stadium they play in is all designed for the Lakers. They have no banners up there. But they make a move in trading Tobias Harris. They free up cap space. They've now landed a bunch of extra draft picks. What do you make of the direction the Clippers are headed?
Oh, they're headed in a good direction. They set themselves up to be right there when just last week everybody was talking about how you know, the Lakers are set, they step up. But then also on the flip side of that, the Knicks, with the moves that they made, have set themselves up to make some runs in free agency. So they put themselves right in that conversation. And L.A. is definitely one of the most attractive cities in the NBA, if not the most attractive city in the NBA for guys to come to and try to play. You know, with the weather, with everything that comes with living in Los Angeles, so and playing for either the Lakers and the Clippers. This is not the same Clippers that I played for with the Donald Sterling, the way he owned it, the way he ran it. It was definitely a second class to the Lakers organization at the time that I was there. But now everything that I'm hearing, it is moving into a first-class organization. The ownership from top to bottom is doing a great job changing the culture over there as far as trying to create their own identity, and I think they've done a great job with that since Ballmer has taken over. So they're put themselves in position to be right there to make a move for a Kawhi Kyrie, whatever they want to do. They're in a position. They got young assets. They're just like the Lakers with young assets. They got a bunch of draft picks,
yep.
and they got a grip of cap space. So they're right there at the forefront of all the leadership or the guys who have the trumps in their hand in free agency.
And, Eddie, I would think this, and we were talking about it earlier, there are certain teams to where when you win there, it's just bigger than other places. Like Joe Maddon, anybody that won the World Series on that Cubs team, they're never paying for a drink in town.
In Chicago, ever.
It's just different. If you're a part of the team that finally lands a winner with the Clippers, I got to imagine that's somewhat attractive to players around the league.
Yeah, well, it has to be because then you have LeBron across. So now if you want to – because, number one, the Warriors are the cream of the crop
right.
in the West. So it's like, okay, well, that's who we have to compete with, but can we be the best team in the city of L.A.? And that's what they're going to be competing for. And that makes for, I mean, a hell of a bidding war. And you start talking about Jeannie Buss, Magic Johnson, and Steve Ballmer, and Jerry West, you know, and you start – So you start seeing, like, okay, what's coming to fruition? Whose dream is and whose ideas are going to actually come to fruition and who's going to put out a team that's going to say, hey, this is our basketball city. It used to be or it still is. One of the two is going to happen.
He is Eddie House,
my
NBA
man.
Champion, Fox Sports 1 NBA analyst.
Hey, Eddie, when are you coming back to FS1? When will you be?
I'm supposed to. Hey, oh, I was talking to Marcus, possibly Monday, man.
All right, because I think next week it's me, Chris, and Greg Jennings filling in for the guys, skipping Shannon off. So I hope you're there next week.
Okay, for sure. I'll find out. I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted.
All right.
Thanks, Eddie. We appreciate it, man.
All right. Be cool.